introduction, she wouldn't even have any time to speak. And besides that, Pastor Kathy instructed me. Matter of fact, she got gangster on me. She said, Reggie, just 2 minutes, and then she gave me this. So I'm going to listen to Pastor Kathy Balcom and just give something short. I just want to say publicly that Pastor Kathy and her husband, Dennis, are heroes of mine. They're heroes of a lot of us at Shiloh Church Fellowship, and maybe she's never heard that before. Actually, she's a Shiro. She's a Shiro, and she is one that has gone with Dennis. And I think it'd be remiss for me to say, behind every great man is a great woman. I like what Ecclesiastes says in the Living Bible. It says, live happily with the woman you love through the fleeting days. I wish Dennis was here, Pastor Kathy. It says, live happily with the woman you love through the fleeting days of life. For the wife that God gives you is your best reward down here for all your earthly toil. And I believe that I'm speaking in proxy for Dennis. I'm sure he would say that. Because you have some people here who have once some of the first Western missionaries. It was said the door of China wouldn't be open. How many remember that? The door of China wouldn't be open. And we know ping pong diplomacy went in a few years before that. But other than that, nobody was going into China. And they got a word from the Lord to go into China even before it opened. And she'll share about that. But here, this is why they're heroes. Or, you know, as they say for a woman, a shiro. Is because they were poised and prepared. Not just when the door opened, but they were poised and prepared to have the distinction of being some of the first Western missionaries to go into China. Is that correct, Pastor Kathy? After it opened. Yes, after it opened again. And so I just think that that's very important. And so without further ado, you know, I feel like, how many remember Johnny Carson? Amen. Ed McMahon would say, here's Johnny. How many remember what Jesus would introduce, John the Baptist would introduce Jesus, and he says, here's Jesus. Well, in that spirit, I'm getting ready to introduce Pastor Kathy Balcom and say, here's Pastor Kathy. Let's give her a hand, everybody.
Hello. When I see Chinese, I want to speak Chinese. Ni hao ma. Wo hai Hong Kong ren. Wo wei gong Guangdong wa. Wo guo yu bu tai hao. It says in when you are Hong Kong speaker and you speak Cantonese, your Mandarin is not so good. It says tin bu pa. Tin but pa, de but pa, ji pa, Hong Kong yan gong, Putong wa. It says, I'm not afraid of heaven or of earth. I'm just afraid of Hong Kong people speaking Mandarin. So, my husband, Dennis, he's not here today, but he's in the spirit. Maybe one day he can come and he can speak at your Mandarin service in perfect Mandarin. He speaks perfect Mandarin. So back in the back, there's a couple of books. This was written 7 years ago. This one, One Journey, One Nation, is mainly his call, the way he came to the Lord, the way the Lord called him to China. And how, there's a chapter on me and how we met and all that. I was a missionary in Thailand. My parents were missionaries. I'm an MK, missionary kid. And now I'm a preacher's wife, a missionary's wife. And then the second book was written 4 years ago. And this was mainly about China after he went into China. Because as our brother said, Brother Reggie said, when we went to China, went to Hong Kong, China was closed. And there's no way we could go in. But Dennis said to the people in Hong Kong, including the missionaries that had been in China and were kicked out after 1950s, they were kicked out. They said, he said, I'm going to go to Red China And some of them said, no, young man, I think China has closed. We're just waiting for Jesus to come back. They had no hope that China would open again. But he says, no, God, they said, oh, maybe you called you to another country, maybe to Taiwan, or maybe to a country where there's a lot of Chinese, maybe Indonesia, Philippines, you know? He says, no, Red China. I'm going to go to Red China. And when he first went there, he just spent hours walking along the border between Hong Kong and China. At that time, no foreigners could go in. Some of our people could go in. We started a church in Hong Kong as a Cantonese-speaking church. And in fact, next year, 2019, October, is our 50th anniversary of the Hong Kong church. When I say 50, I almost choke on it. I can't be that old. But we always stay young. It's just amazing, you know, when you think about it. It's not because of our own might. I am weak. Dennis is weak. If you want to see ordinary people with ordinary lives, it's me and Dennis. But it's just, we just said, yes, Lord, anything you say, and we're willing to go. So Dennis was willing even to just be smuggled into China, but he didn't do that. Otherwise, he'd be in big trouble. But anyway, when we heard back from our people who were in our church, they were given permits, Hong Kong Chinese, to go in and out. And they began to contact some of the Christians they knew, because we heard nothing. And when people walked the streets of Guangzhou, and at that time Shenzhen didn't really exist because it was just a field. Now it's a big, booming city. But when they went to Guangzhou, Beijing, they saw churches, but inside were factories. They saw the buildings, but inside were factories. So they figured the church had been wiped out, you know. They didn't know. But it had gone underground. And when we began to hear word of what's happened in the church since the 1949 revolution, it not only prospered, but it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just multiplied to astronomical growth, all because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when you went into China in those days, people weren't talking about thousands and hundreds. They were talking about hundreds of thousands and millions when they're talking about the Christians. They would say, well, over there in that district, there used to be 2,000 Christians. Now, there's about 2 million. And you're going, 2 million. You know, you think, well, maybe 20,000. No, 2 million. It just kept growing and growing and growing. So where do you begin when you talk about China? If you give me 4 hours, I probably could speak more. In China, when my husband first went in, he had 4 to 8 hours of nonstop teaching every day. So we're just starting, you know, maybe about 6 tonight, okay? If you give me that time. Where do you start? And I feel just to start where the Holy Spirit just came in. The Holy Spirit is the one that brought growth to his church. Jesus says, I will build my church. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the rock was Jesus. Amen? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell came. In fact, Mao Zedong, his wife, said, one day Christianity will not exist in China. You can only go to the museums and see anything about Christianity. But what happened? God overthrew the very hardline communists and put into place Deng Xiaoping, which is a very tiny guy. He wasn't a Christian, but he opened up China. And God, and because of what was happening in 1976, 77, 78, you saw that Mao and his gang were all put into prison. And now, if you want to hear about them, they're in the museum. But Christianity is prospering, amen? Even if you've heard some bad news the past few years with this leader, Xi Jinping, the one you see with President Trump, he's a very hardline communist, and he's out to try to destroy all religion. Because, you know, communism is atheists, and they don't believe in any God. So pray for church, pray for China. When I was in communication with our elder up there in Guangzhou, where there's a church that he's in charge of, I said, how's it going? He says, well, what happened was they had rented a place for 10 years in a factory on a Sunday. No one was there, so they could use the factory area for a church. They had a couple hundred of people. And then one day, all of a sudden, the police came in and says, you can't meet here anymore. So they went somewhere else, and then the police came there and says, you can't meet here either. And then they went to their homes, and the police would come to their homes. They're just out to try to destroy the house church. So what have they been doing? They've been meeting in small groups, anywhere, out in the field, out in the in the park, or maybe in a restaurant. Maybe about five or six people. You're eating, but you're talking about Jesus, and you're sharing about Scripture. You may not have your Bibles open, because they would immediately come and stop you. So that's what's happening right now. But are they discouraged? No. They said, hey, most of our young people, which I'm talking about 30 years and below, they said, we've never really experienced persecution. But there had been some persecution, you know, pressure from the government and all that. But now we're beginning to experience persecution. They haven't been thrown in jail yet, but they may one day, you don't know. And they say, hey, it's good for us. We can no longer, as young people, stand in the middle, lukewarm. We have to be hot or cold. Amen? And they're getting on fire for God. And they're coming up with different strategies that the Holy Spirit's given them. How the church can grow, how it can expand. And excuse me. I believe we're going to see even greater revival, amen, in China. Because in China, you're seeing at least 20,000 people a day coming to know Jesus. And that's the truth. That's the estimate, 20,000 a day. China's a big nation. You say 20,000 a day, that's a lot. But for a nation of 1.3, 1.4 billion people, that's not a lot, you know. But anyway, the estimate of Christians in China now is 8 to 10%. We could say 130 to 140 million Christians. And there's probably places we don't even know that have Christians, so it could be more. But when you say that to a Chinese Christian, you say, hey, isn't that great? Your nation has 8 to 10% Christians? They go, I'm not sure about that. What about the other 90%? They don't know Jesus. We have a lot of work to do. So they don't sit back and say, oh, we've done our job. No, they say we have a lot of work to do. They're evangelizing all over China. And it's more difficult than before. Before they would go into the villages. Now it's in the cities. And there's more cameras watching you in the cities. But they are fearless. They love God. And we're seeing not only, because most of the time, in most of the people in the past were in the rural areas, 80%, but now a lot have come into the cities. So you have house churches all over the cities, meeting in all these apartment buildings. You have people believing in Jesus all the way up in the education department. Students coming to the Lord in the droves. They're hungry. They're so empty. You know, you have materialism has come in like crazy they're really crazy in China. They make money. The Chinese know how to make money. And oh, they make money, and they come on their tourist buses to Hong Kong. And Hong Kong is a small city, considered a small city of 7.5 million people, where all these 1.3 billion people, you have hundreds of millions, it seems like, come across the border. And they're going to your shopping centers, and they're buying up all of our supplies because they know Hong Kong has strict regulations, and so what they buy is real. In China, it may not be real, you know. They have a lot of fake stuff. But anyway, they come and they buy, and they're just so rich, and they're buying so much, and they know how to take stuff back and sell it again, you know, things like that. Very, very keen business people. And I mean, God has blessed them that way. But are they happy? No. We have a ministry where we go to the tourist spots where the buses come in Hong Kong, and places where they come off the bus, usually out in the open, and then they go and see a sightseeing or something. And we pass out packets, plastic packets. Inside, there's a map. There's a nice book about Jesus and how to be saved. There's the Book of Mark or the Book of John, all in Chinese, and a card where they can sign it and send it back to us. And what has happened? Almost 1,000 responses a month. Now that's amazing. That shows how empty they are. They're just so, so, so empty. But it's not difficult to preach the gospel to the Chinese. It's not difficult. It's in their roots. If my husband was here, he could do a series of teachings. And it's true, it's been proven, not just him, but many books have been written about the discovery of Genesis in the Chinese characters, where you see the character for righteousness. It's the same character that's used as a judge when he says that you have no sin, you know, you have been acquitted. It's a character for righteousness, and what do you have? You have very clearly the character for Lamb on the top and the character for me on the bottom is one character. The Lamb over me makes me righteous. Where did that come from? If you're a man on the street, they wouldn't know. So you can ask them, well, why do they use the Lamb? Why do they use me? They don't know. Open your Bible. Show them the story of the high priest sacrificing the Lamb. Show them the story of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who's taken away the sins of the world. They're so open. And when they realize, oh, the Chinese once knew Jehovah God. They were not idol worshippers. The Jewish nation worshipped Jehovah, and the Chinese nation worshipped Jehovah until Buddhism and Taoism and all this came in. And when my husband first went into the house churches, he kept hearing a people that were in deep prayer and intercessory for their own nation. And he kept hearing the word, the sentence over and over again. We as a people knew our Father God. We knew Jehovah God. He was our Father, but as the prodigal son, we turned away from Father God. But now as a nation, we're coming back to Father God. Amen? So it's not difficult to preach the gospel to a Chinese. And we find even the greatest revival happening in Australia is among the Chinese churches. They're so open and so hungry for God. So how did we get into the house churches? That was a miracle. We went into China when it first opened. Now, we're not the first missionaries in China. There are many before them. There were Robert Morrison and Hudson Taylor, wonderful, wonderful missionaries who gave their all for China, even died in China. I mean, they were not old when they died. Their wives were not old. Their children were not old when they died. They gave their lives for China. Robert Morrison said, if I had 1,000 lives, I would give it for China. That's how much the love that Jesus gave for the Chinese people. And China had many missionaries, had many things happen, many people came to know the Lord. And then you also, if you read the history of China, many martyrs, many people killed, a lot of things happened. And then in 1949, 1950s, the missionaries were kicked out. And then what happened? Holy Spirit began to move. So when we first went in, we began to contact some of the Christians in the cities. And they knew some of the house churches in the villages. And when Dennis heard of their lack of teaching, because their leaders were in jail at that time, this is back in the 1980s, some had been in jail for already 20 years. You know, in the 1980s, the 1990s, and the lack of teaching. They needed a foundation. They didn't have the Word of God. Why? Because their Bibles were taken from them and burnt. They ransacked their homes. So all they had was maybe one Bible for 10,000 people. And that one Bible was torn apart. Given, like I give you the book of Acts, or I wouldn't like the book of Chronicles. But anyway, they would copy. And then they pass it on. Eventually you get the book of John, Mark, Acts, all these books. So they had their hand-copied Bibles, but not the whole Bible. And also they put the word in their heart. Oh my, talk about walking Bibles. They were amazing. One brother, his daughter was able to hide the Bible in the ground, bury it in the ground. So when her house was ransacked by the Red Guards, they didn't find that. And she brought it out and she told her dad, "Hey dad, I have the whole Bible with me at my house." He was just like, "Oh, okay, I will come to your house once a week and I will shut the door, I will lock the door, just give me a bottle of water, you don't have to feed me, I'll stay there 3 days and I will begin to read and to memorize the Bible." He memorized the whole 150 Psalms. He memorized the whole book of Psalms. I look 119 and I'm going, whoa, I can't even memorize that, you know. But they were walking Bibles, and when we heard them speak, they would just be quoting scripture, scripture, scripture. Without looking at the Bible, they were just quoting like the whole book of Philippians and Corinthians and all that. They would say, "Well, once the Apostle Paul said," and all of a sudden I realized they're quoting scripture, you know, word for word. And they've memorized it. "Thy word in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, so that I will not sin against you." And we as Americans have many Bibles, you know. It's amazing. Do we hide the word here? Will one day our Bibles be taken from us? We don't know. Hide it here. It will never be taken from you. So they wanted teaching, and they wanted Dennis to go in. Now Dennis, blonde hair, blue-eyed, white, very much standing out, you know. If he was in a room of Chinese, you could spot him over there. And it was not possible for foreigners to go in, okay? But they said, we want you to come. We will find a way to get you into the villages because we have many, many, many house churches and hundreds and millions of Christians. You know, you need to come. You need to bring the word of God. He's willing to go. And when he first went in, after he saw what they all did to get him in and how dangerous it was, he says, "Maybe I shouldn't go in, because what would happen if he was discovered? They would throw him out of China, okay, at the most. But for them, they're thrown in jail, and they're tortured, and they're beaten, okay?" But they said, "Oh no, we want the word of God. We're hungry for the word." And he found that to be true. He went, and these are mainly farmers at that time. That's where God was moving. And they did harvesting, and they did sowing, and all that. And in between, they would have these days that they would take off and just spend with my husband teaching them the word. And they would just sit on the ground in the house or outside in the little courtyard, and he would teach them day and night, day and night, day and night. The first time he went, he taught for 2 hours, and then he closed his Bible, and they looked at him, and they're sitting there with their pen and their... And they're looking at him. And he says, "You want me to continue?" "Yeah, yeah, okay." 2 more hours. He closed the Bible. They're still looking at him. "Do you have any more?" "Oh, yeah, I have lots more." Okay, 1 more hour, and then we have to have a break, you know. "I need to go to the bathroom." And they say, "Well, there's no bathroom around here, just out in the field, you know." So, but they sat there for 5 hours, and every time he read a scripture, they said, "Can you repeat that?" And then he says, "Well, is my Mandarin not so clear? You can't understand me?" "No, no, no, we're writing it down because we don't have Bibles." And he realized none of them had Bibles. And so that's when our Bible ministry began. They said, "What can we do to stand alongside the house church? Bring Bibles in." Because they were not printing Bibles in those days. Now they are printing Bibles. The Amity Press does print Bibles, but not enough. So we still continue to take Bibles in. And we called our ministry Donkeys for Jesus. You say, "I'm not a donkey. Why are you calling me a donkey?" The donkey took the word of God into Jerusalem. Yeah. And so you take the word of God into China. You're a donkey. Amen. Donkeys for Jesus. And we found that the foreigners had no problem really taking in Bibles, except for now and then they would check you. And if they took them from you, they gave you a receipt that you could pick up on the way out. But we had some dedicated young people, especially the young men, you know. They get a multiple entry visa. So they go in this border, and maybe Most of their Bibles are taken, so they go and walk around for a few hours, come out, get their Bibles. Then they go to this border and take the Bibles across until they get them through. And we got, millions of Bibles into China over the years. Thank God for the teams that came. We just know that this work was God, you know, bringing teams from all over the world. We're talking about all the way from New Zealand, Australia, Philippines, everywhere. Africa, America, everywhere. They were there. And big teams and people who were bold, who take many Bibles in, they were fearless, you know? And the thing is, they were printing Bibles in China, but they did not want Bibles that were printed outside of China. Very proud people, you know. We don't need your Bibles. We have Bibles. Why are you bringing in so many? Things like that. And we would say, well, we're just bringing gifts to the Chinese people. You know, when you're Chinese, when you go visit somebody, you always bring a gift, you know? And you salt you, am I? You don't just bring empty hands. You bring a gift. But God is so good. He went into China and he spoke and he ministered on the Holy Spirit. The beginning, God told him to speak on the Holy Spirit. They have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit was there. Yes, they saw miracles, signs, wonders happening. But they had never received the baptism with the manifestation of speaking in tongues. They never received that before. He taught on the Holy Spirit. He says, okay, now we'll stand and pray. Lift your hands. Holy Spirit, come. And within a minute, all of them are just speaking fluently in tongues. No, nothing. Nothing was hindering them. They just spoke in tongues. And so, if you hear about Dennis in China or from the Chinese house church, they say, oh, he's like a spiritual dad to us. He brought the message of the Holy Spirit to us. And when we received the Holy Spirit, then the fire of the Holy Spirit just spread throughout the house church. And we saw just so many people come to know Jesus. It's a miracle. My daughter... In fact, in the back, there's not very many, but if a family could take one, you know. I didn't have enough of these. It's a picture of our family, and I have one daughter, one son. My daughter is older, and she married a Chinese Hong Kong man, and they pastor our church now in Hong Kong. But they travel to China many times and do teaching and mentoring. That's what they want. They want the teaching because there's so many cults now in China, and they need the foundation of the Word of God. So... Anyway, my daughter, when she was 15, now can you imagine a preacher's kid and a missionary kid, also the kid of Dennis Balcom, not that he's bad, but he was quite busy and quite famous at that time, you know. She'd been in church ever since she was a baby. And when she was 15, she's beginning to go through a little bit of rebellion, but you know, every kid needs to come through a certain time in their life when they get to know God personally. Because God has no grandchildren. He only has children, right? So my daughter could not follow us into heaven. She had to know God personally. So she began to get a little bit rebellious. I don't want to go to church, Dad. I don't want to read my Bible, Dad. I don't want to this. I don't want to do that. And he would get angry, like, as long as you're with us, you're coming to church and you're going to read your Bible. Finally, I said, you know, you can take a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink, you know? So Dennis just prayed. And one day he said to Sharon, come with me to the house churches. Now you have two blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white people going to the house churches. And that's even a bigger deal to smuggle them in. Well, how did they do it? They would go in the middle of the night walking along the fields because there's no streetlights, okay? So you can't see anybody. And if it's wintertime, it's even better because you can cover yourself with a hood and a jacket. She was excited to go because, number one, she could spend time with her dad. Number two, she could actually go to China. What a real adventure, you know, into the house churches. So they're walking along the field at 3 in the morning. That's usually when most people are asleep, including the police. And see, once you get to the field, to the village, you can't be walking around the village. You have to stay in that house. Because if you are found walking around the village, somebody will report you to the police. That's how it was. and then everyone would be in big trouble. So middle of the night, she went into China, and she's walking with her dad and some co-workers, and she's very tired. They've been traveling all day. It's like 3 in the morning. When are we going to get there, Dad? I'm so tired. I want to go to bed. Oh, it's just up there, an hour later. When are we getting there, Dad? You know, I'm just so tired. And finally, they came, and she saw a silhouette, like a house, a village house. And she said, what's that singing I hear inside the house? Oh, they're having an all-night prayer meeting. And she thought, oh, no, I'm so tired. I want to go to bed, you know. That's all she can think of. But what happened was, when they opened the door of the village house, all they saw were people sitting on the ground, and it was just dirt floor, and they were singing with their eyes closed and their hands raised, and tears just coming down their faces. Nobody opened their eyes to look at who was coming in the door. They were just worshiping and singing their own songs that the Lord has given them. And at that moment, my daughter says, Mom, I felt the tangible presence of God for the first time in my life, and I knew God was real. The first time she went to China, she felt that among the church people. And she says they were just so genuine, so simple. And Mom, guess what? I saw the blind see, the lame walk. I saw the deaf hear. I didn't see any dead raised. I heard that they can raise the dead, but I didn't see any myself. But miracles happening every day. It was just amazing. I was right there. I saw them. And then I also saw a little girl about my age. She looked like about my age. And I went to her and I started talking to her. She says, I'm 15. Are you my age? She says, no, I'm older than you. I'm 18. Oh, are you here with your dad and mom? No. I'm one of the leaders. One of the leaders? You're 18? Yeah. And what do you do? Oh, over in that district over there, I'm in charge of 80 churches. And in those churches, there's about 500,000 people. And my daughter goes, oh, you know, what have I done with my life, you know? It's like amazing. When they talk about people, they're talking about hundreds and thousands and millions of people coming to the Lord, and whole districts with millions and millions of people coming to the Lord. It's happening in China. Even now it's happening. We don't hear about it, but it's happening. But we're talking about 1.3, 1.4 billion people. God is moving, and I believe we're going to see China won for Christ. Amen? Amen. So she came out from China a couple weeks later. In those days, we didn't know when they would come out. We didn't have email, we didn't have cell phones, you know, nothing. So I just would pray for them at home. It wasn't convenient for all of us to go in because we're foreigners. If you're Chinese, it's a lot easier. So all you Chinese, come to China, you know. It's a lot easier. But she comes out in a couple weeks, and she arrives at our house. And I just saw a different girl completely, all together. She had encountered God. And she was just so excited. And she says, Mom, all this was happening. And so I asked her, I said, Sharon, why is it in China you saw all this happening? Dead, not that, well, the dead are raised. She didn't see it, but she saw the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. But you come out to Hong Kong and, well, now and then, okay, yeah, that guy was healed like 6 months ago, and this one was healed like maybe 4 months ago. But then, you know, it's just like once in a blue moon, you know. I say, why? Is it a different God? No, it's the same God. She says, Mom, their faith is just so simple. Everything was taken from them, and all they had was the Word of God. And when you talk to them, they will say to you, communism was not our enemy. Not our enemy. And you say, what? You know, they persecuted you. They say, they chased us into the secret place and we saw God face to face. Hallelujah. So their whole attitude was, yes, we have suffered. We've even been in prison. Now here, you hear about prison ministry. And prison ministry is when you go to the prisons and you minister to the prisoners. In China, prison ministry is You are the prisoner. And they turned prison upside down. They said, we're here because God put us here. We're not going to rebuke the devil. We're just going to start preaching his word. Be a light in darkness. And they would turn the whole prison upside down. One time a lady came to our hotel room, and she was one of the leaders. And she saw the telephone. She says, I need to use your telephone. We said, sure. And she talked for a while on the phone. And then she sat down, and we said, well, who are you talking to? Oh, I was talking to the former prison guard, who was the prison guard of the prison I was in, who now is the leader of our cell group in the prison. And most of the people in the prison are now Christians. And God is moving in a miraculous way. Because they brought the light. They knew how to shine their light in darkness. Shine the light in darkness. Not sitting there rebuking the darkness, but shining their light. It's almost like if you walk into a room and there's no windows and there's no lights, what do you see? I mean, there's no lights, but there is a light switch over there. You see nothing. So you're going to sit there and say, curse the darkness and get angry with the darkness? No. You look for the light switch and you turn on the light. Christians are the light. We are the light of the world. Amen? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. But he says, let your light shine before all men. And it's amazing what they do. They know there's still persecution. They know that there's still a very tough government that is putting all these regulations on them, trying to get rid of the house church especially. And yet, they continue to preach the gospel. It's not like they are being rebellious. They are finding all different ways to be able to just meet together. Even if it's over a meal, they'll meet together. They're just on fire for God. They know God in the simple, simple way, in the secret place. Amen? And they knew the word of God. My husband loves to bring out the example. The old Chinese is written from top to bottom, left to right, top to bottom. So when the people read the Bible in Chinese, they're going, amen, amen. And when we read the Bible, we're going, I'm not too sure about this. So they were simple. It says, lay your hands on the sick, they will be healed. So what do? They lay their hands on the sick and they're healed. Amen? There's a story, and it's a true story. Way back in the 1980s and 90s, people were sent out to the villages to preach the gospel. They're sent by two. And most of them were women, these fearless women, you know? So they would go two by two to these villages, and they found these villages are very friendly. Actually, the village people are very friendly. You can walk around, you can stop and talk with people, and sometimes they invite you into their house. So that's what they would do. And over a cup of tea, they would be asking, do you have anyone that's sick among you? We would love to pray for them. Now, these villagers are probably idol worshippers, but they don't care. If you are willing to pray for them, they're willing to have you pray for them. And because there's no hospitals, you have to go hours and hours to get to the nearest hospital. No clinics, nothing. So they said, sure, you know, my husband has been laying there for a long time with a high fever, and we're worried about him. Can we pray for him? Yes. They pray for him, and he begins to get up, and his fever has broken, and he's getting, like, walking around well. So within an hour, there's hundreds of people around that house. Because the word gets around very quickly. They have no phones. They have no cell phones, nothing. But the word gets around, and they're all coming to the house. And they're all bringing their sick. And they're being prayed for. It's the signs, miracles, and wonders that drew them. And then that's when they're able to share Jesus. And whole villages were turned to Jesus at that time. Well, one time, a couple of girls went into the village area and were praying for the sick. And then that was a very, very, superstitious area. They worshiped idols. They even had a witch. And the witch was one day underneath a tree making some incense and sacrifice, you know. And all of a sudden the branch of the tree fell down and hit her on the head. And she fell over dead. Even her skull was cracked, okay? I mean, like, she wasn't breathing. She was dead. And the people are going, oh, no, oh, no, because the witch is very important in that village. What do we do now? What do we do now? And someone says, oh, I heard there's some Christians in the village. I heard they raised the dead. Go find them. Go find them. So they run to the house and they say, oh, my, our witch is dead. And it was hidden, but she was hit, almost like the Wizard of Oz, you know. She was hit by a branch of a tree. And she's dead. Please come and raise her from the dead. Now, if you were those Christians, what would you think? Good riddance, you know. Let her die. Did they do that? No. They just knew that anything that happened was an opportunity. So they ran over, and they saw this witch. She'd been laying there for over an hour, just, I mean, like, gone. And they commanded life, her spirit, to come back into her body. And this witch, she was on her face, and all of a sudden she began to turn over. And then she sat up, and her eyes are huge, huge, huge. Like, and she said, oh my, I went to hell. I saw Jesus. He told me to come back and to tell people about him. And there she was. And she began to, I mean, can you imagine the witch preaching the gospel? That village, not only that village, but many villages came to the Lord. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of villages in China. Now we see a lot of immigration towards the cities. And there's still thousands and thousands and thousands of house churches in the cities. Many we don't know of. In one building, there could be hundreds and hundreds or thousands. You know, I mean, those, if you go to the modern cities of China, they're so modern. They're more modern than Hong Kong. I mean, I'm just amazed. When I first went to China, I felt like I was going through a tunnel, a time tunnel, like going back 40 years. Nothing had changed in 40 years. Old buildings, rundown buildings, people on bicycles, you know? People wearing the old Mao suit with the green and the gray, and people, the girls with the braids, you know, and millions of bicycles coming at you. It's hard to dodge bicycles going across the street. Easier to dodge cars. But now China's so modern. I went to Shanghai. I hadn't been there for ages, and I'm going, whoa, you know, whoa. And it was even more modern, and the buildings more high and tall than Hong Kong. I mean, Hong Kong is a modern city. But it's a modern place, but God is moving in China. And one time, Dennis became good friends with the police. We're talking about the China police, who used to be chasing him, okay? Now he was good friends with some of them. And they said, well, what is it? We would chase after the Christians. We would throw them in jail. We would try to get rid of their worship places, but they just kept growing bigger and bigger and bigger, more and more people. What is it? And Dennis says, that's the gospel. In the midst of persecution, it multiplies. Amen? It multiplies. So if you don't want it to multiply, stop persecuting them, you know? And it's true. Oh, I could say so much more, and I know time is getting there. Can you give me another 4 hours? I'm just kidding. But I'll come again for sure. I'll come again for sure next time I come. But there's so many things I can tell you about, and it'd be good for you to get a book. Now, unfortunately, this book, I only have a few copies left, but you can order them, Kindle, on Amazon if you want, or other bookstores have on Kindle. Some of them do have the hard copy. But I only have a few of them out there. This one I have plenty, so you can get this. And just not because I'm trying to make money. We don't make any money on our books. We just want the word to get out. What is God doing in China? And this was written 4 years ago. So at the end, you're probably he's talking mainly about how the doors are getting wider and wider. And yet people are seeing that, oh, it looks like the doors are closing. What's going to happen? And I say, this is going to happen. China's opening door. It's not going to close. It's not going to close. It's happening that there's a lot of persecution, but that's going to make the church even stronger. Amen? We don't like persecution, but I know it's in the midst of persecution. That's where I find God. Amen? It's in the midst of trouble. I find God. He's there. I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot of sickness, a lot of hospital stays, but through it all, wow, he's He's my rock, my fortress, my high tower. He is my Savior, my Lord. He's everything. And I got to know him even closer through the midst of trials. And so persecution is not bad for you. One time I was preaching at my mom and dad's church. They were missionaries in Thailand. And I was born in Thailand. But they're now in heaven. But I was saying to them, you know, the church in China are praying for the church in America. And everyone said, amen, hallelujah. Then I said, they're praying that the church in America will have persecution. Total silence. What? But it's true. We're not to be afraid because Jesus said, Paul says, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Yay, amen. But also that I may be acquainted with his sufferings. Oh, dear, I don't like that. Nope, nope, nope. But he says, come follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. There's opportunities still to go to China. If you ever have a chance to come and just go over the border and back, you'll never be the same. We had teams come, and all they did was go to the city over the border for a few hours, and then they came back. They also took Bibles in, too. And they said, what is it about China? I came out of China, but China's still in me. I can't get rid of China. It's still in me. You know, it's like, oh, wow. And many people, because of their experience in China, are now back there as missionaries. They're not there as missionaries, but they're there as teachers and as other professions, because you can't go as just a missionary. But it's something about China. God is moving in China. I mean, God is moving in America too, believe it or not. He is moving. I love America. When I come back, I feel like a foreigner in America. I do feel like a foreigner, but I love America and I pray for America. And I know God is moving. And you know who's going to be evangelizing America? The Chinese. They have so many, many Christians that are on fire who want God to move in America. Amen? And they pray for America. They even go, I mean, my husband travels the world mainly to share about China. He has one subject, China, you know, and the Holy Spirit. And wherever he goes, he finds Chinese. We're talking about thousands and thousands of them, you know. He goes to Jakarta, and it's mainly the Chinese. He goes to Australia, it's Chinese, Philippines, Chinese. I said, Dennis, if you go to the North Pole, you'll find Chinese. If you go to the South Pole, you'll find Chinese. They're everywhere because God made a lot of Chinese. Amen. He must have loved the Chinese. He made them, so many of them. And we have become Chinese. Sometimes I forget I'm a foreigner. When I'm there and I'm speaking Chinese all the time, I forget I'm a foreigner. And I look in the mirror and I go, oh, okay, I'm a foreigner. Or people say, oh, why do you speak Chinese? And I'm thinking, well, I'm Chinese, but, oh, I'm a foreigner. Okay. So we give God the glory because there's nothing we can boast in. We are ordinary people. We have ordinary problems. But through it all, God has taught us one thing. He's faithful. He is so faithful. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And he loves China. He loves America. He loves all the world. We're seeing revival happen among the Chinese, especially all over the world. It's a people that you need to get to know, that you need to pray for. Pray for China. Pray for the Christians. They're our brothers and sisters. We know that all over the world, Christians are suffering for the cause of Jesus. I mean, you talk about the Middle East. We have a work in Lebanon for the refugees. The suffering they've been through. Oh, I feel so big among those people. You know, I feel about this big. Because there's just such giants, you know, in the faith. They've come through the fire and they know the Lord. And when they speak about the Lord, it's like, wow. They have such a faith, a simple faith. And me, sometimes I have a lot of doubts and fears and things. And I feel like I'm not worthy to stand in the presence of these giants in the faith. And yet they're so humble. One last story is about this heavenly man. The heavenly man, Brother Yun, he was my husband's first contact when he went to China. Now he's out of China. Many of you have probably heard about him. He has a book, The Heavenly Man. Very humble man, extremely humble man, who went through so much pain and suffering. At that time, he was considered like an apostle to the Chinese church, the house church. When my daughter went to China, she saw him for the first time. She had seen him on video before and seen him, heard him speak to my husband on tape. But now she saw him. He's standing over there. And he's standing with my dad. And my dad's pointing here. That means he's coming my direction. So this heavenly man, Brother Yun, started coming towards Sharon. Well, Sharon, as a teenager, you're putting everybody up on a pedestal, you know, like, wow, like the Apostle Paul, you know, he's coming to see me. I wonder what he's going to do. He's going to bless me, pray for me. What is he going to do? And when he got to Sharon, he knelt on his knees, grabbed her hands and put them on his head and say, bless me, pray for me. Sharon was bawling and bawling and bawling. She says she felt like John the Baptist when Jesus came to the Jordan to be baptized. And John is saying, you should be baptizing me, not me, you know. And I said, what did you say? Oh, I don't know, I just was bawling so hard. You know, I was crying. I think I said a couple sentences of a prayer. And then he took me in his arms and he hugged me. Just a very humble man, extremely humble. Been through a lot of stuff. But through it all, he just shines Jesus. The first time I saw him, I said, oh, this is like Jesus. This is all through him and in him and around him. It's just that they are just totally committed to the Lord. They're ordinary people. They have their problems. They have their situations. But one thing that they have that's greater than me, for sure, is their total simplicity in their faith. That's what I love about them. So the time is almost up, and I want us to all just stand and pray. Okay, let's all just stand together. I promise to be on time. In China, you're never on time. You can go over by 3 hours, you know. But just one scripture that the Lord gave me this morning I want to read. And you're very familiar with this scripture. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And he shall set me on a rock. Amen? That's our God. Is that the one thing you want in your life, is just to know him? Oh, that I may know him, even if it means I need to be acquainted with his sufferings. Oh, God, help me, you know? But it's in the sufferings, that's where we are taken into the secret place and we know him face to face. There's not a lot of time for any of you to come forward, but if you need prayer after the service, you can always come and talk to me. I'll be in the back near the table there. Be sure to come by the table. There's a little table with a few books. Oh, there's one little... This is just about our ministry to the minorities, if you're interested. One of our ministries to the minorities that we do. So you can take that. That's free of charge. The books, we ask for a donation of $10, you know, each, if you can. If you can't give the donation, please take the book. I just want to pray over all of you now. And if you need any more prayer, you're welcome to come find me or find the pastor in the back there after the service, between the services. And now I just want to pray over all of you. Let's just raise our hands. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Our God reigns. Yes, Jesus, you reign. You reign in each heart. If there's anyone that doesn't know you today, come and just reveal yourself to them in a great way. If there's people that are doubting, that are in fear, and say, oh, is this Jesus really real? I tell you, he is real. He is real. Today, give your heart to the Lord. Lord, I just pray over each one. I just pray that the fire of the Spirit just fall on each one, that they will understand your heart. Your heart, Lord, is missions. You said to preach the gospel in Jerusalem. Yes, we're to preach the gospel in our area here. And then to Samaria. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Your heartbeat is missions, Lord. We thank you. You're touching each one. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Let's just pray in the spirit. Pray for China. Pray for the Chinese right now. I know America needs prayer, but right now, just pray for the Chinese. In your own tongue, in the Holy Spirit, whichever way, just pray for China. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in China and around the world, those that are going through persecution, Lord. We pray that they will be strong in you. And we also pray for those who are very comfortable, maybe in America or in England or other places, Lord, that they will encounter you face to face. They will know the fire of your Holy Spirit. Lord, just increase in us a passion to preach the gospel, to show your love to those beside us, to those in front of us, Lord, to those around the world. Lord, I thank you for this church. I pray that many will be drawn because of the Holy Spirit. Many, many will come to know you. We thank you, Lord. Just draw people in this area, in Richmond and around, Lord, that they will come and they will see Jesus face to face. And Lord, I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. I think the pastor wants to say something. Amen.
Good hand.
Thank you.
And I want to collect love offerings for Kathy and write a check.